All right. I am friends with Tucker Carlson. I should probably lead with that. You should know before we start playing clips of this whole thing that we are friends. We got to know each other a few years ago. We see eye to eye on many, many things. I respect him, and we've always been friends. And so he invited me to come on his new show and sit down and have a discussion. We discussed many, many things. We discussed the border. We discussed liberal white women. We discussed the failure of Republicans. There was, look, all you need to know is I was extremely brilliant, extremely witty, and, you know, it was a whole lot of things like this.
It's not an accident, as you well know. You talk about this all the time. It's not an accident what's happening on the border. The people who lead the nation from the federal level, that's Democrat politicians, half the Republican politicians, every bureaucrat, they are encouraging flooding the border with illegals. They're encouraging it. That's just what they want. They want America full of illegals, no loyalty to America, criminals, rapists, murderers. That is what they want, because when you cause violence and chaos in a society, that's the fertile soil where communism grows. People will always turn to the government and beg them for help when that kind of societal collapse comes. So they know this. So they're inviting it. Well, other countries around the world are obliging, as countries always have in this situation. Hey, there's a country I don't particularly like. They have an open border. We do have this prison full of rapists. Hey, guys, why don't you just move on to America? We know this is happening in countries like Venezuela, where they're emptying prisons onto the border. We don't have criminals coming here individually. We have entire criminal networks coming here. The country is being undone now, and it cannot be reversed, what's happening right now. I want everyone to understand this. Let's say everyone gets their wish and Donald Trump beats Joe Biden in November, and woo-hoo-hoo! You cannot possibly, it's not humanly possible to deport this many people. If Joe Biden's going to bring in 10, 12 million people, almost all of them will be here permanently, and all of their children will be American citizens. And there's not going to be some mass deportation, no matter what people say on the campaign trail. The American people have no stomach for that whatsoever. Even if they think they do right now, it would be one video of a little boy crying as mommy gets thrown in the back of a paddy wagon to be deported, and all deportations would stop. Republicans would grab their ankles for the media like they always do, and everything, well, we need to do this more humanely. So that's the situation we're in. We cannot stand by and watch the United States of America be destroyed. And people have to understand how dire this situation is. This is the stated policy now of the Democrat Party. So even if Joe Biden gets bounced in 2024, woohoo, we get some deportations in, the next time there's any Democrat president, it'll again be open season, and the entire world will know. Criminals, drugs, rapists, everything flooding into the country to destroy it. The time is now to create a coalition in a totally separate immigration force. That's what we have to do.
Obviously, clips are making the rounds for a bunch of different reasons. I realize that's quite a thing to say. You've heard me say this on the show. It has to be done. We can't hope. Hope is not a plan. We have to save our way of life. These things need to be done, and they need to be done now. And so in response to that, a lot of people will say, understandably, well, Jesse, let's get some guns and we'll go down to the border. It's not going to work. That is not how we're going to save this place. We will need some level of state power to save. Here it was.
And let's just be honest. I mean, obviously, I'm fervently rooting for Trump over Biden for many, many reasons. But Trump was president for 4 years, and he didn't even build a defensive border wall. Didn't. And I don't care. We can lie about that, but that's just the fact. So the idea that he's going to deport 10 million people is just don't lie to me. I'm sick of it. So I agree with you completely.
Look, I mean, not to interrupt, but along those same lines, Tucker, sorry, but people have to remember child separation policy?
That's
a basic border policy, because people grab kids who aren't theirs and act like, hey, I'm Dad Pedro, and when really he's not, he's some kind of cartel member. And so you always separate the kid and figure out, is he there with mom or dad? That's a basic border policy. Look, again, insult or don't insult, I don't give a crap if people are offended by it. The Trump administration ended that policy because of media and Democrat pressure. Democrats did a bunch of photo ops down on the border. AOC's crying at the fence. Eventually, child separation was ended. That's because of media pressure. And people in this country honestly believe there's going to be some mass deportation of 8 million people where you're rounding up entire families and shipping them back to Zimbabwe. You're outside of your mind. It'll never happen. The people have no stomach for it, and neither does the Republican Party.
Why is it that Republican states tend to have the least sincere Republican? Like Dan Crenshaw, apparently still a member of Congress from the state of Texas, who is zero interest in the U.S. border. All his interest is in the Ukrainian border. The Gaza border. You know, how does a guy like that get elected in a supposedly Republican state?
Well, complacency and life being good makes us soft, right? It's just the fact of life. It's one of those things humanity struggled with. As soon as you get rich or well off or comfortable, how do you keep improving? How do you keep your edge? You rarely do. This is what's happened to red state Republicans. There's nobody more at fault for the condition of this country than red state GOP voters. And people get mad when I say that. But let me just go down the list here. Mitch McConnell, John Cornyn, John Thune, Tillis. I mean, look, you can go down the list. Every dork from Louisiana. The reddest states in this country give us the most putrid Republicans at the federal level. Why does that happen? Because the GOP primary voter in red states lives in a relatively normal place. He lives in comfort. He thinks he's got a red legislature. So he either doesn't vote in primaries. That's mostly the case. He's just going to sit at home. Or even worse, he goes to vote for Senator Dork, who he sees on Fox News every time. Well, Lindsey Graham was on Fox tonight. I guess he's on my side. You should have nothing but disdain for virtually every single senator you see on Fox News. And yet people vote for who they see on television. Well, I met John Thune once and he was so handsome. He's very clearly on our side. John Thune supported gun control legislation, and John Thune on camera was asked to back up American people owning AR-15s. And the best argument he could make for your liberty, for the Second Amendment, was that, I kid you not, this is on camera, he told people, well, I mean, a lot of people use them to shoot prairie dogs. These are the weapons grade losers who control the GOP, and they're from the reddest states. Susan Collins is understandable, Tucker. Sorry to get all fired up. It's understandable. She's from Maine. It's from a blue state. Of course, we're going to get some wishy-washy, mealy-mouthed dork from that kind of state. From the Dakotas? The Dakotas are so red, it's crazy. They could have somebody to the right of me if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, I saw him on Fox last night. Oh, just gag me with a fork.
And so we need state power. We need help. We need help from the red states. They are the only thing that can form a coherent immigration policy. All right, that's our side. Let's set that aside because I do want to show you this. The liberal white woman. I brought this up before. Whenever you look at these dirty commies, Joe Biden, any of them, when they give speeches and you're sitting there screaming at the television and pulling your hair out, and it seems like they're speaking to a different species, it's because they are. They're speaking to the true power of the Democrat Party, the real destroyers of Western civilization, these single liberal white women. And here was Tucker and I discussing them specifically.
I had the wildest conversation, I forgot to tell you about this, with this lady. I won't go into details. We were in this big group setting, and there were Republicans there, Democrats there. It was vacation. We ended up at this big table, like 10 people at this table, having a couple cocktails after dinner, just talking about life. And there were these two liberal white women from Chicago. And they loved their mayor, Brandon Johnson, loved him. They actually referenced him as BJ, was his name, right? BJ, I'm not kidding you not, they kept calling him BJ. I mean, like he's Kamala Harris or something like that. There's BJ this and BJ that. But I kept my mouth shut, Tucker, believe it or not. I know no one's going to believe that. I just sat there and listened, just watched and just listened as these people were talking. Well, there was this oil field guy from Texas. You love this guy. He's total cowboy, red America, the great, all this. And he wasn't holding back. And he finally challenges this woman about the crime in Chicago. And he says to her, you talk about BJ this and Chicago's great that. Look at these murder numbers and it's a disaster. And you got people taking over Union Square. It's crazy. How can you defend it? And Tucker, on my life, cross my heart and hope to die. This lady looked him right in the eye and she said, well, yeah, if you come to Chicago, you might get robbed, but you're not going to be targeted. That was her explanation. Well, yeah, you might get robbed here, but they're not going to target you for assassination. Why are you complaining? Chicago's wonderful. In her mind, that was a good explanation. People do not understand how sick the mind of the liberal white woman is, and they don't understand that that is the true beating heart of the Democrat Party today. I'm not even actually trying to be mean about this. It's why they talk to them. Do people know that married women vote Republican? Married men vote Republican, married men vote Republican, single men vote Republican, but it's something like 77% of single women vote Democrat, and the majority, over 58% of those women, have been diagnosed with mental illness. Single, miserable women who are clinically insane are the beating heart of the Democrat Party. And that's why these people do the things they do. And that's why they do what they do when it comes to illegal immigration, because single white women view illegal immigration like rescuing dogs who've been abused. Oh, sure, everybody just come into my country. Please rape anyone you want. Of course, that's the right thing to do. No love of country, just sitting there popping her anti-anxiety medication as she destroys Western civilization. That's the truth.
I don't think you get the credit for being as deep and insightful as you are.
I am deep and insightful, aren't I? All right. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Thanks once again to Tucker for having me. Now, we have a lot to get to. We have a United States senator who watched that, and he's a little fired up about that whole thing. Tommy Tuberville joins us next. Before we get to Tommy Tuberville, let's get to you. Maybe you're right now, maybe you're thinking, I'm just deflated. Dang, I'm so deflated. Well, that's because you haven't had your afternoon cup of coffee yet. That's because you haven't had a cup of blackout coffee yet. Have you? Please tell me you've ordered your first order of blackout coffee. Listen, I love coffee. If I had my way, if my blood pressure could handle it, I bet you I would drink 10 cups of blackout coffee a day. That's how incredible this is. And you can have whatever you want. I get the whole bean. They send me the whole bean. They ship it fast. I get it. I'd like to do the grind up thing at the house. And my wife now makes fun of me because I love my blackout coffee so much. Do you want to try some of my favorite coffee? Go get some. How about 20% off your first order? They're begging you to come get some blackout coffee, baby. And I found out yesterday they have mugs and they're sending me one. So I'll show you that soon. Blackoutcoffee.com/Jesse is how you get 20% off. Don't pay full price like some sucker. Blackoutcoffee.com/Jesse. We'll be back with the coach.
Republicans do nothing. Republicans have been in charge for I don't know how long, of managing the decline. I mean, look, it's not exactly a new insult to call the Republican Party controlled opposition, but let's be frank, that's exactly what they are. Even Joseph Stalin allowed an opposition party. A lot of people don't realize this. He allowed, encouraged, and in fact funded an opposition party to give the people of the Soviet Union an illusion of choice. Oh, no, these guys are against me. Wow, it's pretty scary, but somehow they never end up accomplishing any of their anti-Stalin goals. We're constantly told the Republican Party is going to fight for us and protect the border, and we'll cut your taxes, and we'll be pro-life, and we'll protect the family. Yet none of these things ever seem to materialize. They all talk about it during election season. I'll build the wall. And then you get there and you get 25 feet of wall and a bunch of excuses. Greg Abbott, that's his excuse. He's a Republican. That's what they all are. That's why I'm an anti-communist.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, you can almost see it. You can almost smell it. The weekend is almost here. Put a smile on your face. We have a huge show for you tonight. We are going to discuss the disconnect with the American voter. There's a poll out. 9% of young voters like the direction of the country, but none of them are voting against Joe Biden. Why does that dynamic take place? We're going to do a ton of talk tonight about the federal government, illegal immigration. That interview I did with Tucker is blowing up all over the daggone place. So I'm actually going to open here in a minute or two explaining my thoughts on that, because Mayorkas gave a lot of testimony today. And there are some Africans in New York City that gave testimony today. And it's going to bring home what I'm talking about. We have all that deep state talk, the FBI's lumping you in with jihadis, all that and so much more tonight coming up on the world famous Jesse
Kelly Show. Now I want to begin here with the big news of the day. Everyone is emailing me about this. I realize we have a bunch of new listeners to the show, so allow me to explain something. Tucker Carlson and I are friends. We got to know each other back when he had a show on Fox News. Our radio show was really, really, really small back then, but just he caught wind of something, ended up going on his show a bunch. We got to be really good friends. I've flown up and hung out with him before. Like we're friends. And he has his new show, and he decided he wanted to have me on to have a long discussion about a new coalition of states. A coalition of states that is a little bit separate from the government. Now, let me explain my thoughts, because that interview went out yesterday. It's all over the place. Believe it or not, it's getting shared all throughout Congress, in the Senate, everywhere. I've got my phones melting from congressmen and whatnot talking about it. So let me just lay out a couple things, and then I'll give you some more detail after we get into the Mayorkas stuff. Here's what we all have to understand. The states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. The states created the federal government. They created the federal government because they understood that there are some things, a few things, that only a centralized government can do. We don't want the centralized government to do much, right? You're a small government person. I'm a small government person. We don't want them doing much. But things like, honestly, the currency of a nation. We really can't have New York having their own currency different than Texas's currency. Now you have a currency exchange. You can't have that. Okay, so there are certain things the central government has to do. And part of what the states agreed upon over the years was the central government, the federal government, needs to be the one who handles immigration. Who's a citizen? Who's not a citizen? How many people can come here? How many people are allowed to come here legally? Who will secure the borders? That needs to be a federal thing. That's what the states decided. Doesn't matter whether you disagree with that or agree with that. Doesn't matter what I think about that. The states decided, hey, this responsibility of immigration, of illegal immigration, needs to belong to the federal government. We can't have New Mexico's illegal immigration policy being different than New York's, being different than our Oregon's. We can't have that. It won't work. However, things have changed. And this is what I mean. Back when that decision was made, the federal government was occupied by people who wanted to do their duty. I'm not saying they were all saints. They certainly weren't. But people who viewed that responsibility as a serious responsibility. That was then. Back when we signed the contract, if you will, that was the condition on the ground. Today, here is the condition on the ground. The condition on the ground is the federal government we entrusted to handle immigration in this country has turned hostile to the American people and to the country itself. And they've taken their role as security guard. And instead of running security, they're actually inviting and paying for people to come into the country and gut it like a fish. The federal government, it's not just that they're failing at their job. They have declared war on the job they have. It would be like me, Premier, they pay me to do radio every day. It's my job to sit down, do a 3-hour radio show and entertain the masses right here on for Premier Networks. It would be like me sitting down every day and doing everything I could to get you to turn off the radio. That's what it would be. Me trying, not just sitting here in silence, hoping you'll change the channel, me sitting down every day doing or saying something on the air with the intention to get you to turn off the radio. Well, if I did that, now the show's going great. Don't get me wrong. Everything's wonderful here. But if I did that, how long would Premier keep me on? Not very. We wanted you to entertain the masses. Instead, you're turning off the masses. We have to renegotiate the nature of our relationship here. They would make a phone call. Chris, same thing. Jewish producer Chris. His job is to produce the radio show. Michael's job, production work, that's what their job is. And they bust their butts at it, and they're good at it, and they contribute, and they have ideas. But what if they both showed up one day and they decided they were going to ruin the show? Not just be lazy, oh, I'm going to sit here and drink beer, but they're going to ruin the show. Well, they have to be fired. I can't do this. It's not going to work that way. We hired a security guard. That's the federal government. This security guard's job is to guard who can and cannot come inside of our home. If the security guard then starts paying robbers to come loot our home, we must renegotiate the nature of our relationship. Now, I'm going to play some things for you, and then we'll come back to that. There are some eye-popping things. Speaking of New York, I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to what the immigration system of America has brought. This is an African woman testifying in front of the New York City Council.
You know, in Africa, unfortunately for us, learning how to read and write is a privilege. And a lot of our brothers and sisters do not know how to read and write. So the language barrier is tremendous. It's impossible for them to do anything because they don't understand the language. They don't understand the way the city works. They don't understand anything. And you can go nothing. You can do nothing. You know, we are African. We don't speak African. We have different specificity in Africa. Only in the Congo, you have like more than 500 languages. Swahili is being spoken in Burundi. So I can speak with somebody from Burundi. But I cannot speak Swahili with somebody from Mauritania. You understand? In Europe, a Turkish don't talk for a French. A French don't talk for a Spanish. So why it is that you will put everybody in Africa in the same bag and thinking that because they speak Asanya, because they speak Pearl, everybody will understand. You see? I told you Hakuna Matata, you couldn't understand anything. You see? So that's what we need. We need people that speak the native language to teach to those people. That's what we're asking the city, and the city refuse.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Did you drop your pants and take a steaming dump over the sovereignty of my country? And then we're not being accommodating enough to you here? Are we not being accommodating to you in your languages? Man, I'm so sorry. My heart's breaking for you. I gotta be on breaking for you. Listen to this crap.
This is unacceptable. This is shameful time in New York history. This city is not friendly for all people.
I'm gonna let her start again. Did you hear how she starts out? I'm gonna play this again. Listen to how she starts out.
This is unacceptable.
This is unacceptable? The illegal who left her dump to come reside and luxuriate in New York City hasn't been given everything she needs, and now it's unacceptable to you? Set aside your anger for that piece of trash for a moment. What does that say about our government? You understand that if you're in a country illegally, wherever you come from, wherever you go, if I go decide I'm going to move to Germany tomorrow, don't worry, I'm not moving to Germany. But I just go there illegally. You understand that because I broke their immigration laws, I should be afraid. I should be afraid to get a traffic ticket to go to the DMV. I should be afraid because I'm illegal. And if they find me, they'll arrest me or maybe put me in prison before they deport me. Our illegals are so comfortable here, they give open testimony talking about how unacceptable their treatment is. I'm not done yet. We're going somewhere with this before we get to all the rest of this stuff. You obviously have seen the foreign aid bill. There'll be a vote on it this weekend. Just know that it's going to pass. All right. Legislations, billions here, billions there, billions for them, billions for this. And then there's nothing for you. And there won't be anything for you. We are in the looting the treasury phase of the late stage republic. You can sit around whining about that, or you can make preparations. It's time to make preparations. Oxford Gold Group is about making preparations. Precious metals are preparations. They're not jewelry. It's not fancy. It's not something for you to brag to your friends about. Look at all my gold coins. In fact, you should never tell anybody, but you should make a phone call and ensure that you have something to purchase goods and services with and some sort of lasting wealth that's outside of the dollar, because these people are destroying the dollar. You know, you buy groceries. So make a phone call. 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, and I do need to remind you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. All 3 hours of the show for you new listeners. On Fridays, we do the same thing every Friday. All 3 hours are me answering your questions. What questions? Whatever. Whatever you email in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Don't have to be political. Can be anything. I don't care. History, food. We have a blast on Fridays. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Get those emailed in right now. They're already pouring in the show. Now back to what we were talking about. We're doing a long thing, in case you're just now joining us, about the states renegotiating their relationship with the federal government. We have a federal government that was charged with controlling the immigration into the United States of America. Instead, they have opened up our borders to the point where we now have Africans pouring into the country, telling us their treatment is unacceptable.
This is unacceptable. This is shameful time in New York history. This city is not friendly for all people. It is anti-African and xenophobic. We came to share this testimony.
I'll let her keep going. Crossed the Atlantic from her dump, lives in the most important city on the planet, and sitting there in public without an ounce of fear of arrest or deportation, sitting there scolding the governing body. She's testifying before the New York City Council, sitting there scolding the governing body about how racist and xenophobic they are.
To let you all know in this council, you all are responsible for this pain and suffering that will affect us for generations to come. But you also can change this for better. New York City should at least live up to the standard it projects to the world, instead of the mediocrity he has shown our community. Africans deserve dignity and respect. We are not animal. This country has the habit to... I'm so upset. You have a habit.
Listen, she had to pause because she's so upset. Scolding you. Africa, we deserve dignity and respect. You deserve a prison cell, you criminal.
To receive all of our immigrants, all of our community. Why is it going to be done only to the African? Because it's embedded.
Yeah, you get the idea. Now, I'm going to play something else for you. Alejandro Mayorkas. Obviously, you know he won't be impeached in the Senate, but he did have to sit in front of the Senate today and speak with Senator Rand Paul. This is not just some fly-by-night street hippie. This is the head of the Department of Homeland Security. Keep that in mind when I say the states must form their own coalition. Red states must form a red state coalition. Divorce their immigration policy from the federal government and began the arrest, deportation, and border security policy on their own. Listen to the head of DHS.
And so when you come to us and you say, oh gosh, if we only had more legislation, we could do it. Why don't you bring back the executive orders of Donald Trump that seem to be working? You immediately got rid of them for political purposes. The border's a disaster. Why don't you bring back the 92 executive orders that you reversed?
I respectfully, Ranking Member Paul, disagree with the premise of your question.
That's because you refuse to look at...
By the way, little side note. I realize not everyone understands how everything works. Ranking member, what does that mean? Remember, when Democrats are in charge of a body or Republicans are in charge of a body, they get to choose the chairman of the committees. Chairman of the committees. All right, so you're the big cheese on the committee. Democrats control the Senate, so there's a chairman of this committee who's a Democrat. The highest ranking member of the opposition party, he's kind of, I don't want to say he's the second in charge because he's really not, but he's considered the ranking member, right? Clear?
The facts, and it's still, you know, I guess insulting to all of us and insulting to the memory of Laken Riley and to the memory of others who have been killed by people who came into this country. I think a lot of people in America are going to be appalled, you know, that you refuse to answer the questions. Jose Ibarra, you know, was it lawful to parole him? Was it lawful to let him in the country because you say the camp's full?
Ranking Member Paul is a former federal prosecutor for 12 years. I can say with tremendous conviction that individuals who commit criminal acts need to be held accountable for their crimes.
Well, that's not much consolation if you wait until after he's murdered somebody. See, part of the problem is, and I think people would be aghast to know this, that when you come in, you just give people your name, right? It's the honor system.
I want you to pay attention to this part. This is your federal government. This is my federal government. We have entrusted them with illegal immigration. Listen to what they do.
There may be some databases you check, but certainly most of the domestic crimes in Venezuela probably are not in any kind of international database. So if you waltz into the country through your generous parole programs and say, I'm John Smith from Venezuela, you have no way of ascertaining that. You still let them go. So you say, well, we're going to make sure that they're not a violent criminal. You have no way. You look in some databases, maybe they're not in the database, but you have no way of even knowing that that's their name.
He goes on to explain that because they don't even use their real name and because we can't verify things from places like Venezuela and various African countries, various places around the world, they choose their name and we, the United States of America, give these people a new identity. We welcome them into the country and give them a new identity. We cannot survive like this. So it's time for something new. We'll discuss that next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. So let's wrap up this thought here because I want to get to some other things. Yes, I understand about the jury selection in New York today, and we're going to talk about deep state things and the disconnect of the voter. I want to get to some emails tonight, but to wrap up this discussion, the federal government was entrusted. Has been entrusted. The states gave the federal government the responsibility to control immigration, secure the border, who can come, who can't come, who gets deported. The federal government was given that responsibility by the states. The federal government has now declared war on the United States of America by immigration policy alone. We're not even going to get into everything else. They have opened up the border on purpose. On purpose. On purpose. You must understand and accept that. It's not an accident. It's not a whoopsie. It's not liberals. Why, were we too nice? They're flooding the country with rapists. On purpose. Therefore, states, red ones, it is time now to renegotiate the nature of their relationship with the federal government. Now. Right now, we will not deport these people. There isn't even the personnel to deport these people. You know, we have about 6,000 employees at ICE. About 3,000 of those are the ones who actually deport people. But we're going to have a mass deportation of 10 million people. That's a friggin' lie. It's never going to happen. Oh, we'll bring in the military. Okay. Have you walked through that in your mind? You want a bunch of United States Marines knocking on doors? Hey, open up. That sound good? You think that's going to be good for the American people for freedom? Hey, don't worry. We've just got a couple army divisions marching through town to deport illegals. You think that'll go over well? Do you think the American people would even support the crying babies being deported? Of course not. These people are here permanently. So we must begin taking steps now. Not after November. Well, let's see what Trump does. Right now. Red states, form a coalition. challenge the federal government. Deport whoever you want. Arrest, deport people, build a wall 10 miles high on your border, put up machine gun nests for all I care. You know, deadly force actually is something nations have used since the dawn of time to enforce their borders. That's not some radical thing. I'm coming in. No, you're not. I'm going to force my way in. If you do, I'll kill you. That's basic border security. It is time to take this deadly serious because Americans are dying. Deadly serious. It is deadly serious. And if anyone from the federal government, after the red states form this coalition, if anyone from the federal government, Border Patrol, FBI, politician, I don't care who it is, tries to step in and stop it, arrest them too and send them to prison. Sounds crazy? I'm trying to save a country. Trying to save your way of life and my way of life. This is what it's going to take. Listen to these people. Listen to this.
Mr. Secretary, how many people have died from fentanyl in this country in the last 3 years, the last year?
Senator, I would be pleased to provide you with that data.
You have, what would be your guess?
Senator, I don't want to guess. But
so you don't know. 250,000 Americans have died from fentanyl poisoning, and that's on your shoulders. How many people have you paroled in the last 3 years? Any idea?
Senator, I would be pleased as I
you can't it. You're in charge of this. You have no idea. Is it 1 million? Is it 2 million? Is it two or three?
Senator, I would be pleased to provide.
How many of those have committed a crime? How many people that have you paroled have committed a crime?
Senator, if you would be if you're pleased to.
Mr. Secretary, do you recall a visit in January to Eagle Pass? You were in Eagle Pass in January. Do you recall that visit?
I recall the precise month, but I've made over 20 visits to the border, so forgive me for not remembering the...
Do you recall being in a room in Eagle Pass, Texas, with a large number of Border Patrol officers? Did you admit the release rate was 85% at that time?
Oh, as I've testified before, I don't remember the particular exchange to which you refer.
85%. The federal government we entrusted with the border invites them here, and 85% are flown into the country, given health care, given schooling, given visa cards, food, lodging, at your expense. Now you tell me, you sit there and tell me that I'm the radical one for talking about a red state coalition with immigration enforcement powers. I'm not the radical one. I would argue I am extremely moderate. I am the moderate one here. I am. We cannot survive like this. We can't. No nation can. And even if, look, even if, what if we do get these mass deportations and Trump wins and about all that, okay. But this is now the stated policy of American Democrats. So anytime a Democrat president is elected in the future, and they will be, we can bank on another 10 million, 12 million illegals. It's over. I don't mean the country, but the federal government being trusted with immigration law must be over. Those days must be over. Well, what about the Supreme Court? Screw the Supreme Court. If they want to come step in when the red states form their coalition, they can be arrested too. That's how deadly serious I am about this. This has got to be taken seriously. Our life depends on it. The life of a nation. We are being invaded by every single dump on the planet. Yeah. All right. One last word on the, got this email about the interview. I got a couple of these. Hey, Jesse, I caught you on Tucker Carlson's show tonight. You guys should do show stuff more often. Your insight along with Tucker's great questions were great, but I think the most mesmerizing thing was the contrast between Tucker's out-of-control big head of hair and your shiny cue ball head. I just couldn't look away. Just amazing. Anyway, it was great. His name is Ben. That's not nice. That's not very nice. Jesse, I listened to your conversation with Tucker Carlson. I'm hyper-informed. I'm frustrated. I can't seem to get the message out about what's going on in the country. I wanted to ask GOP politicians, what the beep are you doing? Do something. Please tell me what I can do because voting isn't enough. Dems do so many underhanded things, so on and so forth. Give me some direction. Listen, the direction you must take and I must take is aggressive, local, legal action. local, legal, and aggressive. You cannot walk into the White House. You're not the president. You're not in Congress. I don't want you to grab your weapons and march down to the border and get yourself thrown in prison, because that's all that's going to happen. We're not talking about doing something stupid or illegal or anything like that here. Local, aggressive action. It doesn't sound like enough because you're desperate. I'm desperate. These things are happening right now. We need them to stop right now. We're watching our country disintegrate and we want it to be saved. But saving the country is a process. Remember that. A process. It's not an event. It is a process. I actually really like that, Chris. Chris, write that down. That's a great quote. What, Chris? Listen, that's a great quote. Why don't you accept that? Maybe you just don't understand. Let me explain it in more detail.
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
A winner. Chris, that's a winning look. Saving the country is not an event. It's a process. I love that so much. I think I'm going to repeat that 5 times during this show. What, Chris? You know what? I'm going to give myself that one right there. I'm making a tally right here. Saving the country is not an event. It's a process. That's 2, Chris. I've got 3 more still to come. And in all seriousness, it means getting involved at the local level and changing the culture of this country, because the ultimate goal is we have a federal government occupied with people who don't want to destroy it. That's the ultimate goal. It's going to take us a long time to get there.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.